Parshas Bamidbar. In Parshas Bamidbar, in Perek Gimel Pasuk Dalet, once again the Misa, the death of Aaron HaKohen's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, is mentioned. Vayomos Nadav v'Avihu lifnei Hashem, b'hakrivom eish zora lifnei Hashem b'midbar Sinai. It was when they were makriv, an eish zora, a foreign, as it were, fire in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ubonim loyhoyu lohem. And they did not have any children. Vayichayin eloza ve'isomor al pnei Aaron Aviyam. And in their place, Nadav and Avihu, who took over, the two remaining sons, Eloza ve'isomor. And of course, this is a reference once again to the story that we read about, the tragic story in Parshas Shmini, where it says there also that Nadav and Avihu vayakrivu lifnei Hashem eish zara asher lo tziva oisam, which had not been commanded. And what happened? Vateitze eish milifnei Hashem vatoichal oisam. A ruchni eish emerged from in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It consumed them vayomusu lifnei Hashem. In Chazal, in a number of places, Gemara in Erevin, Gemara in Yevamos, it's a Medrash, it's a Tosfos, there is much discussion as to what exactly was the chait of the sons of Aaron HaKohen. It certainly seems to be the Pshutei Shel Mikra, as is stated both in our parasha and also in Parashas Shemini, that they were makriv and eish zora lifnei Hashem. As the Torah adds in Parshas Shmini, it was an Eish asher lo tziva oisom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had never commanded them to be makriv this Eish. And whatever the Avera of that may be, but that certainly seems to be the Hagdara, the definition of the Avera that we are talking about. Having said that, there are so those who are Madaik, that if you look in Parshas Shmini, as we well know, how does the Torah continue immediately after the parasha of the death of the sons of Aaron? There comes the instruction, Yayin v'sheicha al tesht. Kohenim may not drink wine whilst they're about to do avodah. So some learn from there that apparently that was the chait. The chait was that Nadav and Avihu must have been performing avodah as shtuye yayin, even though they had drunk yayin. And that's why the Torah stresses that's an Issa. So maybe that was the Avera. In our parasha, there is a different continuation. How does the Torah continue? Ubonim loyhoyu lohem. So there are those who see that maybe that's a reference to the chait, the fact that they never got married. They chose not to get married, not to have children, and that's why the Torah is stressing immediately after mentioning the fact that they died, ubonim loyhoyu lohem, they didn't have children. There is a medrash, a difficult perhaps to understand medrash, that suggests that maybe the chait was actually something else. It says, sheholchu acharei Moshe va'Aaron, they followed Moshe va'Aaron and they said, as it were, mosai yomusu zakenim halalu. When will these elders pass on, and I and you, the two of us, Nadav and Avihu, nanhig hatzibur, we will then take over the leadership? Which sounds like a perhaps disrespectful way to talk about Moshe v'Aaron, and maybe that was the chait. Some suggest it was something different completely, that they did not wash their hands and feet prior to performing the avodah. As we know, a kohen has to approach the kiyor and wash yodayim v'raglayim, and they did not do so. Some suggest they were not wearing the requisite begodim to do the avodah. But the Gemara in Erevin teaches us something else. Shehoiru halocha bifnei rabon. That the chait was that they paskened a shaila in front of their Rebbe, front of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the avodah. So, the one thing that seems to be clear is that it's unclear. It's unclear what the chait was. Again, the psukim certainly seem to indicate it was the fact that they were makriv this unasked for Eish. And yet we have a whole variety of suggestions in Chazal, maybe because they drank wine, maybe because they didn't marry, maybe because they spoke disrespectfully about Moshe Va'aron, they didn't wash their hands and feet, they didn't have the correct begodim, or, as the Gemara mentions, they were Meira Halocha Bifnei Rabbon. Just in parenthesis, this is not our main subject, but there's a very fascinating Ksav Sofer, which is not only a very beautiful Pshat, but actually very relevant to the Ksav Sofer himself. The Ksav Sofer is very troubled. Why would it be that Nodav and Avihu didn't get married, didn't have children? And why would it be that they would speak about Moshe Va'aron in this way, that when will they die and then we'll take over, as if we're waiting, halavai they would already pass on? So the Ksav Sofer suggests big chidush, kedarko b'kodesh, and he says the reason why they did not get married possibly is because they saw, look at the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's children and Aaron HaKohen's children. Aaron HaKohen's children, meaning Nodav and Avihu included, were all great tzaddikim. Nodav, Avihu, Elazar, Isamar. But not so necessarily about Moshe Rabbeinu's children. So they arrived at the conclusion it must be that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was apparently unsuccessful, as it were, in educating his children and ensuring that they should be Gedolei Yisrael, it must be because he is so busy with his leadership of Klal Yisrael that he doesn't have time to invest in looking after his children. Aaron HaKohen, although holding a position of leadership, he was a Kohen Gadol, but he was not the one running Klal Yisrael. He clearly was, therefore, able to invest time in his children, and you could see the results. Nodav and Avihu assumed that following the death of Moshe Va'aron, who's going to take over? Well, it's not going to be Moshe Rabbeinu's children because they were not necessarily Gedolei Yisrael. So surely it was going to be them. If that's the case, then L'shem Shomayim, they chose not to get married. Perhaps would we be better off not getting married, because we see what happens if, when you take over the leadership, and it so totally consumes you, you don't have a time to look after your children, as seems to have happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, if we're going to be the next leaders of Klal Yisrael, we don't want to run the same risk. And that's therefore how the Ksav Sofer combines these two opinions. When they spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, when they're going to die, they weren't chas v'shalom saying it in a disrespectful way. They were just pointing out, surely when they die, we will be the next leaders, in which case we better not get married. It's best off not to have children, because we won't be able to invest in them. That's how he is masbein, and of course he points out that, no, after all we know, Bahodi kovshid rachmon olomoloch, you don't make these cheshbonos. If there's a mitzvah to get married, there's a mitzvah to get married. Why is this a fascinating Ksav Sofer? Because in two places, in the Chut HaMashulash and another place, it's recorded there that the Ksav Sofer himself bemoaned, and he said, Loi uchal lahashkiach kechol hatzerech al bonai. He said, I'm very worried. I don't have the time. The Ksav Sofer, Rashka Bahag, Rabbon Shel Yisrael, from a very young age, in his 20s, he bemoaned the fact that I won't have time to look after my children. So the very concern that Nodav and Avihu had, thousands of years later, the Ksav Sofer was worrying, perhaps the same will happen to him as well, Chas V'Shalom. That maybe he'll be so taken up with running Klal Yisrael, he won't have a chance to look after his own children. Although, the Ksav Sofer does conclude there that no. Ani batuach, however. Because I'm investing so much effort into looking after the children of other people and to guide them b'derech ha-Torah, b'zchus zeh, I'm sure that so too I will see the same result. Al kol ponim v'oifen, this is the pshat of the Ksav Sefer, but let's come back now to our main subject. The question that obviously must be asked, why are there such a variety of reasons given, as we mentioned in the beginning, when the Torah quite clearly seems to suggest that the reason is because they were makri of this Eish? So why all these other reasons being suggested? Because they didn't get married, because they didn't, they drank wine, because they didn't wash their hands and feet, etc., etc., etc. And the Gemara that we mentioned before, because they paskan the shayla bifnei rabon. True, indeed, that may well be a very severe avera. But why are Chazal suggesting that was the reason when the reason seems to be fairly evident in the psukim? So the Ben Yoyoda says a phenomenal yesoid in Erevin Daf Samach Gimel Omad Aleph. This opinion is in fact the opinion of Rebbe Lozo. Rebbe Lozo is the one who said that they paskin the Alocha Bifnei Rabbon, says the Ben Yoyoda, Beksav Mufurush. In the Pasuk it's absolutely clear. Al shehekrivu eish zara. So why is Rebbe Lozo suggesting an alternative? What's wrong with the poshut pshat in the pasuk? And he says a frightening thing. Loi bo Rebbe Lozo lishloil kolze. Rebbe Lozo is not coming to argue. He is not negating that which it says in the pasuk. In fact, he's not even arguing with the other opinions. But rather, he is saying as follows. It may well be indeed that they were makriv an esh, an uncalled for esh. It may well be there were other averas, says the Ben Yoyada, but im loy hayu mezalzalim bekvoid Moshe Rabbeinu lahoyrois halacha befonov, had they not somehow been mezalzal in the covet of Moshe Rabbeinu, hayo megin zechusoy aleihem. The zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu would have protected them. And it's only because they paskan the halacha b'fnei Rabbon, that's why they came to these other averas. But otherwise, the zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu would have protected them. And that's why he says, when Rebbe Loza suggests Shishaloi, that they were moira halacha b'fnei Rabbon, he's not coming to argue with the other reasons. But rather he's saying, how indeed did those other averas come about? Or, if they did come about, but surely the covered the zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu would have protected them from punishment. And the answer is, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's zechus did not act as a protection for punishment is because they were mezalzel in the covered of Moshe Rabbeinu. So really, therefore, it all emanates from the fact that they were Moira Halacham Bifnei Rabbon. That's not the main Aveira, but that was the Shoirish. Once they were Moira Halacham Bifnei Rabbon, they showed on their lofty Madrega a certain aspect of Zilzul in the covet of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu could therefore no longer serve as a protection. And the Ben Yoyada concludes, he says, this is what it says in Chazal, it's a Gemara in Shabbos. Loi chorva Yerushalayim veloi golu Yisrael ela al shebizu ba talmidei chachamim. If you want to know why Yerushalayim was destroyed, if you want to know why Klal Yisrael were exiled, it was because they were mevaze the talmidei chachamim. And l'chayre the Ben Yoyada means to point out, surely it was other averas that brought about the churb, and the answer is it's true, but once you mevaze in talmidei chachamim, you lost any chance that they would act as your protection. This is what happened with Nadav and Avihu. So if you want to know which Avera was it that brought about their Misa, certainly whatever it says in the Psukim or maybe other reasons, but all of that was only deemed punishable by death because they were Meira Halacham Bifnei Rabbon. So I'd like to explain a little bit what I think is the meaning of the Ben Yehoyada. Because indeed, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that very famous Gemara that we all know, where the Gemara says that nobody really understood. Not the Nevi'im, not the Chachamim, nobody really understood Al Ma'a Ovda Ha'aretz. Why indeed were Klal Yisrael driven out of Eretz Yisrael until HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvoidoi U'ba'atzmoi said, as explained by Rav, Sheloi Baruch Hu B'Toira T'chilo. And the obvious and famous question is, it does not say that they didn't learn Torah. They learned Torah, but they didn't make a bracha over Torah, and for that, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Furthermore, doesn't the Gemara clearly tell us that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they were over the worst of the worst, the three cardinal Averas, Gilui Aroyah, Shvichas Domim, Avodah Zarah. So why does the Gemara have to suggest it's because it didn't make a bracha over Torah? And above all, if Klal Yisrael were indeed being over the three worst Averas, so what does it mean that nobody knew why there was a Churban? Open your eyes and see. Look at the dismal spiritual state of Klal Yisrael. Surely, the fact that there was rampant Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Domim, Gilui Aroyos, surely it wasn't kept a secret. Nobody knew why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the answer is, as explained by Reb Itzel Blaser, the prime Talmud of Yisrael Salanter, it all lies in the very brief words of the Ran. Because the Ran in Nedarim explained that if you don't make a bracha on Torah, then you're clearly displaying a lack of chashivus towards the Torah. The Torah was not choshuv. The Torah wasn't considered worthy of making a bracha over. Which, when you think about it, only really expounds our problems. That's why there was a Churban HaBayis, because they didn't quite show a chashivus for Torah, but they were learning Torah. So Reb Itzel Blaser shares with us the following yesod. Torah, as we know, is a protection. The Gemara tells us in Soto Daf Chof Aleph, Torah magna umatzla, it shields and it saves. Says Rashi there, it shields from Yisurim and it saves from the Yetzer Hara. It's the ultimate protection, and therefore the question must be, if indeed Klal Yisrael were learning Torah, as they certainly were, how in fact did they end up being over such terrible Averus? In other words, the Chachamim and the Nevi'im, they knew full well why there was a Churban HaBayis. It was because of the three cardinal Averas. The question was, how indeed did they end up being over the Averas? But Klal Yisrael surely were learning. And if they were learning, then surely that should have acted as a protection, and they should never have ended up being over the Gimel Averas Chamurais. That was their question. Why did Torah not act as a protection? Torah magna umatzla. So what's the answer? Says Reb Itzel Blaser, don't we know the story about David HaMelech? David HaMelech, at the end of his lifetime, it says, was always cold. His clothes never warmed him. And Chazal explain, because on one occasion, as we know, he cut off the corner of the Me'il of Shmuel. Says Reb Itzel Blaser, the teva of a beged is that it warms a person. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a beged. Apparently, however, and this is the yesod, if you are, however, mevaza a beged, it can no longer act as a protection for you. Yes, the nature of a garment is to keep a person protected, but if you display some sort of zilzul in a beged, that very beged cannot now serve as your protection. Says Reb Itzel Blaser, if that's true with a beged, kol shekein with Torah. Torah is indeed magna umatzla, it serves as our protection, but not if you're mevaza in Torah. As long as you are mechabed the Torah, then indeed it can serve as your protection. Says Reb Itzel Blaser, that's pshat therefore in the Gemara. If they didn't make a bracha over Torah, they displayed a lack of respect. Yes, they were learning. And it's precisely because they were learning that the Chachomim and the Nevi'im were so troubled. Why did the Torah not act as a protection? Surely Torah magna umatzla. Torah is a protection. And the answer is that there was a very subtle Aveira, although a very significant one. They were not mevorich over the Torah. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could see that. And that was indicative of a lack of kavod towards Torah. If you're not mechabed the Torah, then so too the Torah in return cannot act as your protection. Just like if you're not mechabed a beged, then the beged cannot protect you. If that's the case, I think we can now come back to the Ben Yehoyada. The Ben Yehoyada is teaching us that if Nadav and Avihu on their lofty madrega were not mechabed Moshe Rabbeinu, then Moshe Rabbeinu cannot act as a protection for them. And I think what he means is, just like we know in the famous Gemara, Omar Rava, the Gemara says in Makkos, there are those who are foolish people, because they stand whenever they see a Sefer Torah, but they don't stand when they see a Talmud Chacham. Why are they called foolish? Why are they called foolish? The Aruch Haneh asks his Kasha. Surely they're worse than foolish. They're Rishoyim. And the answer is they're not foolish. They're not Rishoyim, but they are foolish. They don't understand that when a Talmud Chacham learns Torah, he becomes connected to the Torah. He becomes one with the Torah. Therefore, it's totally absurd to stand up in front of a Sefer Torah and not in front of a Talmud Chacham who himself embodies that very Sefer Torah. That's not an act of wickedness, that's an act of foolishness. Failure to understand that Klal Yisrael, the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chad Hu, as the famous Zohar teaches us. Klal Yisrael connect themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu via the Torah and they become one with the Torah. The Netziv was once dancing on Simchas Torah, holding the Sefer Torah, and he tripped up. He fell together with the Sefer Torah. His son first picked up his father and then picked up the Sefer Torah, because his father was in fact a living Sefer Torah himself. The story is told about a certain woman who came to the Taz, the great Taz, and says that I have an ill child. He's been ill for several weeks. The doctors have all given up. They cannot find any medication or treatment for him. Please, please, she begged him for a bracha. Could you daven for him? And the Taz says, I should daven. Who am I? Am I in the place of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? Maybe go to the shuls and the bottom midrashim and there you should daven. But she insisted. And she did not leave the house of the Taz. And she screamed and cried and she says, El ha-toiro sheba'adoini anitzei ekes. I'm not asking that, as it were, you. I'm asking for the Torah in you. Ki kutsha brichu vo'iraisa chadhu. And the Taz was so moved by that, and he said, the next 2 weeks of my toil over Torah indeed should be dedicated for the Refuah Shleima of your son, and indeed the son was Zeicha to a Refuah Shleima. That is the Zechus HaTorah. It's not just the limud of the Torah, but the Talmud Chacham becomes one with the Torah. If that's the case, then exactly what Reb Itzel Blaser taught us, that Torah cannot be your protection if you're not mechabed the Torah, we understand therefore that the Ben Yehoyada is in fact teaching us the same. The Ben Yehoyada, it's true, is not talking about the Torah protecting you, he's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu protecting you, but that's all the same thing. Because a Godel B'Torah embodies the Torah. He is in fact a Sefer Torah, and if you stand up for a Sefer Torah, you have to stand up for a Talmud Chacham. So the Ben Yehoyada therefore has not stretched the Yesoid of Reb Itzel Blaser, rather it's the identical Yesoid. Just like Reb Itzel Blaser taught us, that if you're not mechabed the Torah, then the Torah cannot serve as your protection. That's exactly parallel to what the Ben Yoyada is teaching us, that if you're not mechabed gedolei Torah, then they cannot act as your protection. That's the same yesod. Because gedolei Torah are in fact the Torah. And yes, the zechus of Moshe Rabbeinu could well have served as a magna umatzla. It could indeed have saved the children of Aaron HaKohen. So why didn't it? Because they were Moira Halochon Bifnei Rabbon. And if you're Moira Halochon Bifnei Rabbon, that is the identical Aveira to not being Mevorech Al Torah Tchilo. If you're not Mevorech Al Torah Tchilo, then that displays a certain lack of Kovod HaTorah, after which the Torah and Gedolei Torah can no longer serve as your protection. Klal Yisrael were over the worst of the worst Averas, but nonetheless the Torah would have protected them. It couldn't do so because they were not Mechaber the Torah. Nodav and Avihu may well have been over one or two or three or various different Averas. Moshe Rabbeinu, who himself embodies the Torah, would have acted as a protection. He couldn't do so, however, because they were mezalzel on their level b'chvoidoi shel Moshe Rabbeinu. We know that the Medrash teaches us that Klal Yisrael, the Zakenim of Klal Yisrael, it says, Loshon of the Medrash in Parashas Shemini, an oif, a bird, cannot fly without wings. Kach Yisrael einom yecholim lasos dovor chutz mizikneim. The elders of Yisrael are like the wings, but we know the wings help the bird not only fly, but they act as a protection for the bird as well. There is a frightening story. We may well have told this over in the past. Me'inyan le'inyan. About the particular individual who came to his Rav and says, surely you can help me. I have a teenage son who's beginning to rebel and leave the fold. Maybe you can talk to him. Maybe you can be mechazik him. And the Rav seemed, for some reason, reluctant to do so. Oh, I don't know if it'll help, and why. And he was rather surprised, and he begged the Rav, please, I'm begging you, you're the one, maybe you can be mechazikim. All right, fine, no, send me your son. So the son came to speak to the Rav, he sat with him for an hour, he left. And a couple of months later, this father calls the Rav and says, I don't know what you told my son, but it certainly didn't help. Things have only gone from bad to worse. And to be perfectly honest, I'm quite upset and disappointed. After all, isn't this your job? Isn't that your tafkid, to be mechazak, to be mereimim? Couldn't you in some way inspire my son? So the Rav said to this father, he said, do you remember when you originally asked me to speak to your son? I wasn't that keen. In fact, I tried to avoid it completely. Yes, I certainly do remember, said the father, and I was rather surprised. Why didn't you want to speak to my son? After all, you're the Rav of the Kehillah, that's your job, that's your zechus, that's your privilege. And the father told him a frightening thing. I know the home that your son has been brought up in. It's a home in which there is no kavod for gedolei Torah, or loimdei Torah, or for rabbonim, or tamidei chachamim. And I therefore had very, very limited hope or expectation that your son would listen to a single word that I would have to say. And that's why, to be perfectly honest, I didn't want to speak to him. But you pushed me, so I did. But to be honest, even then, I didn't have much hope. And indeed, now that you tell me that he's only moved further away and was not inspired by what I have to say for him, well, I'm sorry to say, you have to look at yourself. Because if you're not mechabe talmidei chachamim, you cannot expect, therefore, to be the beneficiary of talmidei chachamim. And that's really the yesod that we're learning tonight. So, of course, we finish in conclusion. If we are completing now the Yemei HaOmer, in which there was a period of loy noagu kovod zeh bazeh, loy noagu kovod zeh bazeh, therefore, in light of everything we explained, is not just an Aveira bein Odom l'chaveiroi. But if the great Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, everyone was a Tana, they were not mechabed each other, then that's not just a zilzel, that's not just a lack of kavod for gedolei Torah, that is a lack of kavod for Torah itself. And therefore, in this very tkufa, when we lead up to Chag Matan Torah Seinu, which is all about celebrating the lives of Torah that we live, and indeed we are mevorech b'Torah tchilo, we mechabad the Torah, we live by the Torah, the Aveira, therefore, of Lo Yinoagu Kovid Zeh B'Zeh becomes magnified. In the very period leading up to Chag Matan Torah Seinu, in which we are learning Torah, but being mechabed the Torah, to not be noyeg kovod zeh bozeh is the opposite. That's not just a lack, that's not just a pagam in bein odom lechaveroi, but again, on their level, on their lofty level, that displays also a certain lack of kovod for Torah itself. And therefore, as we now begin the final week of countdown towards Shavuos, or count up towards Shavuos, this is really our central focus. To celebrate Kiyem Chayenu V'Erech Yomenu, we celebrate not only Torah, but also the Gedolei Torah Shemipiem Onu Chayim. I wish everybody a very good Shabbos.